make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, obesity has more than doubled in children during the past 30 years. This statistic is not only alarming, but shows that perhaps parents aren't really quite sure how to combat obesity in their own kids. Our next guest is the author of Fit from the Start, How to Prevent Childhood Obesity in Infancy, and she's here to debunk common myths and misconceptions related to childhood obesity, and hopefully help some of the parents out there keep their kids from becoming obese. Dr. Barbara Moore, tell us what the first big myth you'd like to debunk about that rapid weight gain and obesity is really for older kids, not little kids.
That's right. I guess the first thing I want to say is that there are plenty of things that parents and parents-to-be can do to set the stage for childhood obesity prevention in the infancy year, which we're defining as the first 12 months of life. So we'll hope that you choose to breastfeed your baby. That'll certainly give you an edge. But we also want you to understand a little bit about how appetite is regulated in a child. And, you know, just to step back for a second, think of how dramatically a child changes in the first 12 months of life. Their head grows in circumference, the brain is increasing, all these neural connections are being made, and appetite regulation, which is a function of the way in which the brain and the gut talk to each other, is being established in the first year of life. So the way in which you feed your baby is going to influence that development, and that's a really key message, is that you need to learn how to avoid overfeeding your baby, and you do that by paying really close attention to the cues, the behavioral cues that this little creature who can't talk uses to communicate with you, to tell you that you're hungry. And when you start feeding your baby, eventually there will be behavioral cues that will tell you that the baby is full. And that's your job as a parent, is to honor those cues. Mm-hmm. To learn what they are and to respect them, because what you're doing by that is you're reinforcing that baby's connection to his own internal signals. And that's the beauty of the system, and that's the beauty of good parenting.
So what if the mother has the best intentions, but for whatever reason, mommy is impaired and she misreads the cue? What does she do then, or is the kid doomed?
Oh, the kid is not doomed, but basically one of the things you can do is you can, believe it or not, skin-to-skin contact can help you tune into your baby. So put your little baby, you know, without any clothes on your bare chest, and let that little baby feel your heartbeat. And if your baby's hungry, it will start moving towards the nipple. It will actually, like, wiggle its little head over towards the nipple. That's a clue that the baby is hungry. So, and dads can try that too, you know. That'll work for dads. And whether you're bottle feeding or breastfeeding, that's one of the indicators that your baby is getting hungry. Now, of course, it may get fussy, it may get cranky, it may even start to cry, but we're trying to get you to tune into the subtle signals before that happens. Conversely, when the meal's over, there are other cues. The baby will turn its head away. It'll get sleepy. It may get cranky if you continue to try to feed it. Those are the kinds of behavioral cues that the baby is now full and that the meal should end.
Dr. Moore, let's talk about another myth, one of cereal. I've interviewed other doctors about how I personally don't believe there is a healthy cereal out there, but there are others who disagree. Tell me your myth about that cereal in a bottle will help a baby sleep.
Well, this is a myth that is often handed down from, you know, grandmother to mother, and this is this notion that you can add cereal to the bottle to make the baby sleep better. There is absolutely no scientific evidence that this is true. And furthermore, the American Academy of Pediatrics is very clear that we should be exclusively breastfeeding our baby or bottle feeding with formula the baby for the first 6 months of life. There's no need to introduce cereal before 6 months of life. And furthermore, the swallowing reflex is not necessarily well developed in these little babies as young as 4 weeks old when some people are adding cereal to the bottle. And you can actually choke your baby, unintentionally, of course, but you can choke your baby by putting cereal in the bottle. So, you know, it's associated with a higher risk for childhood obesity. Your baby's not ready for it until they're older. And so there's really no excuse to try. And it won't work in terms of making the baby sleep better. That's not a trick that will work. So,
got it. So that myth has been debunked. You have debunked that myth. Let's move on to another myth of exercise in an infant. So should we be getting our infants to do CrossFit or put them on a treadmill? How do you get a baby to exercise?
Well, the interesting thing about babies is even putting the baby on its tummy in the first few months of life will help the baby get exercise. The baby has to, when you bring it home, you know, it's sort of like a rag doll. It's got so little muscle strength and tone, and all of that changes incredibly rapidly within that first year of life. And sure enough, many of these kids are already walking by the time they're 12 months old. So think about the enormous changes that are taking place. And what Shape Up America did is we created a series of videos. We took the infancy period and we divided it up into quarters, and we developed videos of games and songs that parents can play with their baby, and they can view them on the Shape Up America website for free. So, and it accompanies Chapter 7 in our book. So we talk a lot about the kinds of games and songs that will help your child develop the kinds of gross motor skills and muscle tone and muscle strength that they need and the coordination that they need. And so you can view them for free on the Shape Up America website, which is shapeup.org.
Great. So that myth has been debunked. Let's see if we can get another myth in here. Having a beer or a glass of wine before breastfeeding will help my milk production and let my milk down. Debunk it.
That's right. This is really a dangerous one because we now know that alcohol, when a mother ingests alcohol and she's breastfeeding, that alcohol will migrate into her breast milk. The baby will drink that milk, ingest the alcohol, and two possible things may occur. One is that you may be actually fostering a taste for alcohol in that baby, which, of course, is undesirable.
Not good.
But the other thing is that it's now known that alcohol actually undermines the quality of sleep. And we haven't talked about sleep, but it's critical for a baby to have at least 12 hours accumulated sleep over the course of the day, over the course of the 24-hour day. So and having at least 12 hours is associated with a reduced risk for childhood obesity. So it's very, very important. And I know it sounds weird because we all know that, you know, older children are somewhat sleep deprived now. Certainly adults are sleep deprived now. But there is even scientific evidence that infants are sleep deprived. So it's crucial that we do a better job of ensuring that our babies get sufficient sleep.
I'm sorry, I just nodded off there. I'm just kidding. So any other myths? Any other myths you'd like to debunk in 30 seconds?
Well, I just think that the important thing is that you can, I know some mothers are daunted by the idea that they can read these little subtle cues, but it seems that mothers don't believe that their babies are eating enough food. But they are.
Great.
They're eating enough food. As long as you go to a doctor and the doctor says this baby is growing properly, I'm checking its growth trajectory on the growth chart, you're fine.
Dr. Moore, thank you so much for coming on the show. You can learn more at shapeup.org. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.